Welcome to the Drop-In CEO podcast. I'm Deb Coviello, and as the Drop-In CEO, I drop into businesses and assume the CEO role to enhance the human element and increase the results they achieve. This podcast is about bringing you conversations with expert guests who have achieved their greatest results built on a strong foundation of purpose, values, and elevating people. If you're a business leader, entrepreneur, or even just getting started in business, join us as we build the skills you need to achieve your goals. And welcome to the Drop-In CEO podcast. I'm Deb Coviello and delighted to introduce to you today Meredith Bell. Meredith has been an entrepreneur since 1982, and she's an expert in helping companies develop the people side of their business. She is co-founder and president of Performance Support Systems, a global software company based in Virginia. Their assessment and development tools support ongoing improvements in leaders' performance. Business consultants, leadership coaches, and human resource professionals use their products to help managers become more effective leaders. And Meredith is the author of the number one Amazon bestseller, Strong for Performance, Create a Culture with Learning and Development Programs That Stick. And she's also host of the popular Strong for Performance podcast. Meredith, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much, Deb. It's great to be here with you. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
We're just chatting before we started a broadcast here. We are kindred spirits. There is so much about the work that Meredith has done that truly resonates with the work that I do. Also, the power of networking. We have a mutual colleague, Terry Earthwind Nichols, who recommended that I talk to a special person in the human space. So looking forward to bringing this conversation to our listeners. So Meredith, please, you've had an amazing journey. Tell us a little bit about yourself, your business journey, and the work that you're doing now.
Oh, thank you, Deb. Well, you know, none of us starts out as an expert. I started my first career as a teacher and then got my master's, moved into school board administration and supervision, and realized I don't do bureaucracy or politics very well. That's why in 1982, I left that world, even though I had envisioned all my life being a teacher, and just kind of jumped out with a kind of a faith that I'd figure this out, and knew that one of my passions was teaching. I've always loved to teach, but what I decided to do was refocus it. And an area that I saw needing addressing was the way people talk to each other, the way they interact. There's so much pain in the workplace and in homes around conflicts and the way people don't listen. So that is what really drove me. I started a business where I was doing training for not just leaders, but also employees. And I was doing team building to help them learn how to play nicely together. And then I started collaborating with another consultant. We merged our companies in 1990. And then we were working with clients and we really wanted a tool for 360-degree feedback. And most of your listeners are probably familiar with that. It's a technology for gathering information from the people who know a person's work, so they understand better their strengths and what people need from them. And the problem back then is we didn't have a tool that allowed us to customize it, to be able to modify the questions so that we could really target it to the needs of each of our clients. So we decided to create one. And so just like I jumped out of the school system with no experience in business whatsoever, we decided to become a software company with no experience whatsoever in that arena. But we had a belief in what we were able to do, and that is what drove us, really, to create that business. And so we launched our software product, 2020 Insight, in 1994, and we're celebrating 26 years of it being on the market this year. So over all those years, my two business partners and I have now worked together for 29 years, and we've learned a few things, as you can imagine, along the way, as business owners getting knocked down and picking ourselves back up with economy changes and other instances that have happened along the years. And we've also created a second tool that really led to the book that I wrote, because we saw so much happening with consultants, trainers that used our products internally, companies that were developing leaders, and in our own consulting work. There were so many times that people got so excited about what they had learned, but then when they went back on the job, nothing changed. And so we understood why that happened after all these years. And I thought, I need to really get the information out there, not just why it happens, but what people can do about it. And so that was really the impetus for my book. And it's a part of what we do in all of our work now with clients. Our goal overall, Deb, is to really help create healthy cultures where the people are thriving and are interested in helping each other in their own personal and professional development.
So we could stop the podcast interview right there, because in essence, that's the work that I love to do to support other people, because you can have great products and services in your business, but if you don't have people that are leaders and continually growing and having the right culture, it's not sustainable. Companies fold because leaders come and go, people are disenchanted. It would be so nice if we measured ourselves on how we invest and develop our people as maybe a primary metric for success versus simply business results. So it's beautiful work that you do. And I would challenge you, and I just want to get a reaction to this. You said we became a software company, but I see it a little bit differently. You became more of a culture coaching engine because it's the software and everything around it. So, I mean, what's your thoughts about it? I don't see it just a software company. You provide the whole package to get this thing running on all cylinders, don't you think?
I love what you just said. You won't get any pushback from me about it, because we really are, a company that our tools are a vehicle, really, for helping achieve the results that organizations are looking for. So our 360 tool actually is a very customizable tool that can be used for any kind of survey, like teams, assessing team performance, and as well as organization-wide. So you're right. If you think of us, what we do is we provide some automation.
Yes.
To simplify the gathering of information in the feedback and survey side. And then on the other development tool, it's really combining resources together to make it easier for people to learn and change their behavior over time. So thank you. I love that.
You know, it's one of those things that I'm a little selfish here. I do the podcast interview, yes, for providing great value to people that listen. But you know what? It's all about me a little bit. I want to gain these insights. And when I hear great work being done and I listen to what it is that you've actually done for organizations, it's the whole package. It's not just the shiny penny. It's not just the tool. It's not coming in and having a one-day seminar. And to your point, people coming away with excited. People are excited and they try to implement. But when you don't have the full package to provide the ongoing support, people will only retain 20, 30, 60%. If you're lucky, 10% of the people actually use the information. I have found in some of the work that we did in continuous improvement in manufacturing, yes, you can teach the people. Yes, you can have a workshop to practice some of the skills, but it's a journey and you need to be there on their shoulder, behind them, with them, saying, you did this right, pushing them, et cetera. You have to evolve skills. It's not a one and done.
Well, you know, something else you just said, I want to piggyback on, because I want to challenge your listeners to think about how they describe themselves and what they do. Because that same question you asked me, I think would be great for each person to ask themselves. If they say, I'm an engineer, or I'm a this, or I'm a whatever, and the label we put on it can cause us to limit the way we think about ourselves and the contribution that we make. And so why I loved so much your challenge there was it really did help me, you know, step back and think about the various ways that what we do has an impact. And I think that would be a really enriching exercise for your listeners to do for themselves as well.
I appreciate that validation because so often some assessment tools will obviously talk about strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. What are those limiting beliefs and behaviors? But one of the things I also thought about, and I actually have built this assessment tool, is marrying it with almost assuming a different identity. What are those things where you just feel like, I am really good at this? What is that value you could bring to the organization that maybe is not tapped? It could be an opportunity, but then what are you also passionate about? And if you think about it in the context of, I know where I am now, but what could I be doing more of, may be positioning yourself for completely different work. So again, you talked about, I'm an educator, but you just have this passion for learning and creating that culture. And you had, and I mean, I want to go here, you had the courage to jump into a business. You had the courage to say, I want to move into a software company. I want to understand that because so many people, based on limiting beliefs, say, I can't do that. I've never done that. What was it about you at that time and place where you had the courage and you believed to go in a different direction? I'd love to know more.
Oh, thank you. Well, when I left the school system, it was truly motivated by pain. I was in a situation where the last school system I was in, I was there for 2 years, and it was like night and day. Year one, I had a boss who gave me free rein. He believed in me. He enjoyed my creativity and said, go for it. You know, try this, do that. Year two, we got a new superintendent. I got a different boss who was a micromanager. I felt stifled. I was given responsibility for a program that I had no background in. It was like I was set up to fail. So I was just dealing with things that were so uncomfortable. Then I thought, what have I got to lose? And I also had a great supportive husband who said, you know, whatever is going to make you happy. But you know what a lot of it also was, Deb, is I had this inner confidence that I could do it. I thought, all right, I'm a good learner. I can learn what I need. I had never taken a single business course. So if I could do this, people need to ask themselves, you know, what's holding me back? And back then, of course, in 82, there was no internet. You know, it was studying books. It was buying whatever, audio cassettes, I guess, back then. But just learning and then doing. I was willing to get my knees scraped and embarrass myself and, you know, just try things. And I didn't know it at the time, but as I've reflected back, I think I realized, you know, I can learn from anything that happens. It was not a conscious thought that I had, but I figured I'm going to learn what I need to learn as I go. And with the software business, I think because we were still working to help people. So it was a shift, but it did require, you know, so who's going to do this marketing and selling for us? It required additional questions, but I wasn't doing it by myself at that point. I had the two business partners, and the three of us have very different strengths, but we trust our creativity to come up with responses, and we still do. You know, today with what's going on with the pandemic, we've still tapped into that creativity that's there to say, how can we be of greatest service right now? And I think that that's a key question for, you know, anyone that's facing a potential change is looking at, okay, so here we are. What can I tap into that I already have or know? And you know what else I've done? And this has been a long time coming, is learning to let go of having to know the how, but being very clear on the what. If I know what I want, then the how will come as I try things. And so the other thing I think that's helped, and this is not original to me, I've heard it along the way, is taking on the attitude of a scientist who is running an experiment and doesn't get emotionally involved with the results. You know, you have this hypothesis, let's try this. If it works, that shows us to keep doing that. If it doesn't, well, that's simply data. And that has helped me so much not to get emotionally wrapped up in how something turns out. I used to take it personally, talking negatively to myself, oh, I really screwed this up. but instead just saying, that's what happened. So what can I take away from that? So next time it's better.
There's so much in that, and I don't know where to go, but what I think I'm just going to do is just summarize some qualities that for anybody that's listening that either feels stuck, they want to go in a different direction, they've got these passions, they don't know where to start. There's a couple things that you talked about that I advocate with the people that I train and mentor, is that taking that moment to reflect and think. We don't breathe, we don't stop, we are constantly on the go, and leaders take the time to reflect and think. And then the additional thing to you said is simply just having confidence and trust. If you have a vision for what you want to do, and yes, we don't know how to get there, but if you have the ambition, somehow people or guides come into your life that help guide the way. So it's just those simple beliefs that you have to change. And when you know where you are and you where you want to go, helping people to just take small actions, experiment, try something. I'm doing that right now with my online course. I've got a pilot team. I believe in it. I'm getting a lot of feedback from it, but I'm onto something because it's worthy of it. I'm taking action and getting data back from it. So if people should think about tapping into their courage and believe in what they want to do, the how will figure it out. So let's go in another direction. You have created some amazing content, especially in your Strong for Performance book. And one of the things that you talk about is the layers of ability, starting with core strengths and then followed by things like communication skills and critical thinking. I've never heard about that before, is core strengths versus skills. Can you just share a little bit about that with the listeners?
Sure. So when we talk about core strengths, I guess other words would be what people think of as character strengths, but these are not hardwired, you know, established. They're behavior patterns. So it's a little different than a skill. To me, a skill is a way that you can do something. Maybe it's in a sport, how you hold your racket in tennis or your club in golf, or it's a more procedural. You learn this skill and you practice it over and over. With the core strengths, I'm talking about things like courage, confidence, perseverance, composure, so that these are ways you do practice it, but there's not a 1, 2, 3 step, because different situations come up, for example, that require composure. You know, from somebody cuts you off in traffic to somebody interrupts you when you're in the middle of saying something that you feel is important. To somebody making a really big, costly mistake at work, or one of your kids doing something that you can't believe they did. So there are so many instances where you need to exercise composure, but it's not a 1, 2, 3 process. I suppose you could create a process for yourself, like breathe before I say anything, but it's practicing that. For courage, you just look for opportunities. Where could I step out of my comfort zone today and try something I haven't done before, so that the next time I need to do that in life, I've kind of built up this ability to respond that way. And so that's why I call it a behavior pattern. And let's go back to composure a moment. If your pattern is to blow up at people, lose your temper, that's the pattern you've established. And so to create something different, you have to raise your awareness. You have to have the desire to get a different result from what you've gotten before. And so there are a number of things that are involved in adopting any new behavior pattern. But that's the distinction that I make. It's these core elements that, you know, when you think of today and what's going on in our country these days, where we've got all these protests, what we're really looking at is a lot of these core strengths that people need to exercise on a consistent basis, including things like integrity and honesty and compassion. All of those elements are really needed during these times that we're going through today.
Okay, great insight, because I'd never really heard about core strengths versus skills in the context that you shared that. So I really appreciate this. So going in a slightly different direction, so you've shared the great work that you've done with others, but you yourself have been on a journey of reflection. And you also wrote about in purpose, passion, and profit, your story and journey to find your own purpose. Can you share with us the purpose that you found and that journey? Because I think it's really important for people, regardless of where they're at in their life, to pause and think and understand their purpose. So please share your story.
Oh, thank you. Well, for one thing, I think it's important to not feel pressure to come up with a purpose. It's one of the things that evolves over time. I just gained more and more clarity over the years about what am I here for? What am I uniquely able to contribute to the world to make it a better place? That's really, I think, a good question for anyone to ask. So what I realized is I love being of service. The natural thing I tend to ask is, how can I help? When I'm listening to people having a conversation, you know, as an adult now in a business owner situation, I'm thinking of, okay, who do I know that I could introduce this person to? Or, you know, what might be useful for them in the way of a book or something else? So one of the key things that helped me get clarity, there are a couple, but one is a book I read called The Prosperous Coach. And the question in it, I think, is one of these, for me, it was life-changing. And the question was, when, before you go into a conversation or you meet with someone, if you ask yourself, how can I serve this person so powerfully that they never forget our conversation for the rest of their life? That still gives me chills when I think about it, because what you can't do is talk about yourself. How is anyone going to ever be impacted by you going on and on about yourself? So it helps me remember to be curious, to be caring, to go deeper, to ask questions that demonstrate I'm genuinely interested in learning about you. And Deb, if people hear and take away one thing, it would be, how can I do more of that in my life with others? Because there is such a huge gap in the world in people really being fully present with another human being, trying to help them feel understood. And so when I can keep that in mind, then I show up differently to my conversations. And I don't get it right all the time. You know, this is more aspirational, right? But it helps me remember that every single person I come into contact with, even the cashier at the grocery store, I can take time to say, thanks for being so efficient. I really appreciate it. People don't get acknowledgement. They don't get affirmed anywhere near enough. So just looking for ways. Oh, and by the way, let me back up. The other aspect of my purpose is the word love. Because in one assessment I took, it showed love was my top, I forget what it was even called, some kind of strength. And I thought, that's interesting, because you don't think of love in the business sense, initially anyway. But the truth is, serving and loving other people to really let them know they are cared about is huge. And it's probably one of the most important things a leader can do in an organization to bring out the best of their people, is to let them know at a deep level. So you don't have to say, I love you, but you demonstrate it by the way you treat them, by the way you interact with them, by the way you help them feel valued because of the way you do. And I think listening is the most powerful skill, hands down, for demonstrating that.
Thank you for that. And thank you for emphasizing also a point about listening. Leaders listen more 60-70% of the time and enrich the conversation or help others or guide them. So beautiful story. Thank you for sharing that. So we've heard about your journey, and I know that you've done some great work, but I also would like to understand, you've, in your consulting practice, your culture coaching engine with the software and all of that. I mean, I'd love to know how you've interfaced with an organization that may have been going through challenging times or major change. I'd love to know what impact your company or yourself have had on some businesses.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, what's funny, I've come full circle, Deb, because the way I teach now is I teach people to use our tools in organizations. So I work with a lot of consultants and coaches, as well as, you know, the HR talent and learning and development professionals in a company. So I'll give you one quick story of a consultant who used our Strong for Performance program with a credit union, where even though it wasn't that big of a credit union, they still had silos, people weren't communicating. And so this fellow had been working with the executive team, and they said, you know, we really need to do something about this. So he recommended a one-year program where he would meet with them twice a month. And it's interesting, we have these core strengths in this program along with the interpersonal skills. So he worked with the executives to say, okay, what are the top core strengths? What are the top people skills you want these folks who participate to learn? And so each time they came in, the first thing they did was they shared what they had applied from the previous session. How had they used it with the people they worked with? And so they each had to stand up and share. So there was that accountability built into the structure. And then the second half of each session was spent getting introduced to the next topic. And so they would watch a video or read an article together, but they got a sense of, here's what this looks like when done well, and we're going to work on that. And they had the opportunity to also interact with this consultant through the program as a coach in between their in-person sessions. Well, at month 10, the CEO said, we need to start the next class because this has totally transformed our culture. Instead of people not talking, being at odds, and these were not folks, Deb, that came to the class all happy about being there. They were resistant because there was very low trust. But as they learned how to share and interact and not get any negative repercussions from what they did, it opened up the way they interacted with each other throughout the organization, outside of that class. And so the CEO said, we got to start the second class. And this time they had people raising their hands saying, pick me, because they were so excited about what they had seen happen. And so that's what can happen. The top leadership has to be open to this idea of creating something different than what we currently have. So a lot of times it starts with a pain point, obviously. If everything was going great, that would be different. But they've got to be willing to model what they're wanting other people to do. It doesn't work well when top executives say, okay, you guys take this training. We don't need it. You know, we're fine. And people know they aren't fine. So it doesn't get very much traction. So I think that support from the top, where the top folks, whoever the top is, depending on the size of the organization, but the buy-in and the modeling is really important. And so that to me is what, you know, keeps me excited after all these years, is seeing the impact that this can have on the way people actually interact with each other. And another one is a hotel where the manager was dealing with a lot of turnover and people taking time off, calling in sick that weren't sick. So he worked with a consultant to use our survey tool and said, I need to find out what's going on. Well, he didn't expect it to be him as the problem, but that's what so much of the feedback came out as. You create this environment that makes it difficult for us to get our jobs done. And so this consultant worked with him to go through the data and see, you know, to his credit, he had an open mind. He was willing to look at it. And I describe him in the book where he made a commitment and he made a public commitment. And I think that's really key. He acknowledged to his team, hey, I have contributed to what we're dealing with here and I am taking responsibility and I am committing to take action. And he did. It not only transformed that hotel, it transformed his family. Because you don't just adopt these skills in isolation. When you start becoming different in the way you listen and the way you interact with people, that carries over into all aspects of your life. And so seeing the ripple effect of his change and all the people in that organization. And then think about what that may have done with the way they interacted with their own families because they were happier at work.
You know, I see a beautiful triad here. You know, your perfect client is one that commits to this because they care and they want to change. They create an environment of trust so that learning can happen. And the third wheel of accountability, to initially hold their hand to practice new skills and evolve what they do until they become new core strengths of theirs. So it's a great process that you have. And I know the tool really supports that. I can't believe 30 minutes has already gone by now, but you know, I think there's just so much in there that I want people to reflect on. If there's anything else that you haven't shared with us, what would that be before we bring this to a close?
Well, you know, you've mentioned the word reflect a number of times. So I think what I'd like to do is just quickly share. If somebody's committed to make a change, there are three simple steps. One is to focus on what it is you want to change. We can't change a bunch of things at once. So what's the one thing that if you would work on that and improve that, it would have a ripple effect on other areas. And once you commit to that one area to focus on, the next step is taking action. So you don't just think about it, you do something about it. And then the third step is reflect. So after you have taken action, you slow down long enough to say, how did it go? And you ask yourself questions like, okay, so what did happen? What was the sequence? How did I feel about it? Why did it happen that way? What were the consequences? Did I get the outcome I wanted? And if not, what am I going to do differently next time? And what can I do now? So going through this, what we call focus, action, reflection process, where you act and then reflect. And writing it down is even more powerful than just thinking about it. That process over time rewires the brain. And that's what behavior change is really all about. It's creating those new pathways in the brain that make that new skill automatic and comfortable because you've practiced it so much that it replaces the old way of doing it.
This is an amazing conversation. You've touched so many thoughts and emotions that I have over this. So it's been an amazing pleasure for me. You're really making such great contributions to people. I know I'm a fan and an advocate, and just you're a very giving person. Thank you for the books. They were amazing. And I know people will want to connect with you because, again, they want to learn more about your work. How can they best connect with you?
Well, I am on LinkedIn the most. I'm also on Facebook and Twitter, but I really interact with people the most on LinkedIn. I put more content out there. So it's Meredith Bell there. And then our website is growstrongleaders.com. And they can learn about our products. They can find out how to get in touch with me there. And I also have my podcast link there. So if they're interested in checking that out, they can do that on the same website.
All right. This has been a fantastic conversation, Meredith. Thank you so much for being a guest on the show. I know everybody is going to thoroughly enjoy it. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Deb.
Thank you for listening to the Drop-In CEO podcast. I hope you are inspired by our conversation and can apply what you heard to your business or career goals. For more information about our consulting or coaching services, please visit my website at dropinceo.com or visit our Drop-In CEO Facebook group to continue the conversation. Now go out, lead, inspire, and achieve your goals.